The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God," the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, as I was working on this gospel, trying to convey to you how it's to be read, my computer just gave me an answer. You know how when you turn on, you get whatever you get on it. Well, I have a bunch of new stuff, and Riley Brown, I don't know who she is, but I'm sure she's pretty cool. Riley Brown had a little article about the Barbie movie, that very important movie, which most of us don't know about, but let me tell you, it's really important, and it's causing quite a brouhaha. There's lots of energy around it, but here's what Riley Brown wrote. "The new Barbie movie is sweeping the nation with its catchy tunes and bold colors. But there is more than meets the eye, because this movie is bursting at the seams with hidden messages and references." And that's absolutely true. It's true of almost every movie, but especially true of a movie that intends to do what this movie is trying to do. So Riley says, "One watch won't do justice. You're going to need multiple reruns to catch all those little nuggets of wisdom and wit the movie is dishing up." I'm absolutely sure she's right, but I'm more sure that's true of the gospel. And I'm also absolutely true that most Christians would disagree with that. Most Christians would say is what it says is what it means, and that's it. They're saying, most Christians who love Jesus, are saying the Barbie movie is much more deep and complex than God's word. Because they're going to say, is it true or is it symbolic? Ever heard that one? Is it true or is it just symbolic? This story we're reading is filled with symbolism. And all right, let's get to the point. We don't believe Peter could walk on the water. Science teaches us that's not possible. Science teaches us water's hydrogen, two parts, oxygen, one part. And when you and I go into the world, that's what we see, H2O. We don't see water, we see H2O. We see atoms, right? Well, not really. We still see water, but we don't understand water the way the ancients did. How did the people in the Middle East understand great bodies of water? They revealed to them, they were signs of the great cosmic struggle between chaos and order. That which makes life possible and that which destroys life. And they believed that in the prehistoric past, there was a great sea monster, a goddess of chaos. And so one of the names is Tiamat. And the Jewish story about creation is a little different. God said, "Let there be." And there was. But in the beginning, there's water, which no one ever gets that part. It's just water. And the Spirit of God hovers over the water. And that water is called Tihon, the Hebrew word, which sounds a lot like Tiamat, and they're probably related. The Jews know this story because all there was around them were pagans. And their story was a much more demythologized, because what they're saying is there's one God who creates everything, including the other gods. So there's not a cosmic battle. However, they would say chaos is always at the door. And that's why the job of humans in the garden is to conquer the earth, because it's filled with chaos. Nature is chaotic, and it is destructive. It's chaotic and destructive. In the modern world, there is no God, and in a godless world, no one can walk on water. So the question for Christians becomes, did Peter walk on the water or not? That becomes the question. Did Jesus walk on the water or not? And that's how they determine whether or not you're a believer. And here's what I'll say. Today, the EYC has this pool party, right? Julie, can you testify I'm not lying? Thank you. Let's say, next Sunday you come here and Julie tells everybody, probably the highlight of the party was when Father Jeff walked all around the pool on top of the water, pulling kids out of the water. Would you agree that would be pretty amazing? Will you also agree with me that would not make you come to morning prayer anymore? It would not cause you to give any more money to the poor? It would not cause you to pray anymore? You would just think that was pretty cool. But it would not change your life. You know why? Because you've already decided how committed to God you're going to be. And although that would be pretty exciting, and you'd probably talk about it for 3 or 4 days, the reality is those miracles are not enough. So here's my response to the question, did Peter walk on the water or not? Who cares? You don't care. I don't care. Let's be honest. We don't care except to argue about it. But here's the reality of the story. That water is chaos. And I'll prove it to you. At the end of the Bible, where does the beast come from? Someone frighteningly said the sea. Afraid I'm going to say no. No, you're right, the sea. That's where the beast comes from. Why? Because that's where the abyss is. Where does Jesus send the pigs filled with demons? Into the sea. All right? If you read, actually, this idea, I got to make sure I got the right psalm. Psalm 74 and Isaiah 27 actually reference those myths and talk about God killing the sea monster. Psalms, and then someone texted me this morning. What chapter was that? Isaiah 27, verse 1. It's in there. I double checked. And Psalm 74. Why do we talk about those things? Because they express the reality we live in. So here's my response to the question. Did Peter really walk on the water? My answer is, heck yeah, and so are you. Every day of your life. Every day of your life, you're walking in chaos. Every day of your life. You know that cancer that killed family members? What is cancer? It's chaos, right? Destroying bodies. All those diseases that kill people, that's chaos. It's destroying the unity in the ordering principle. How about the political stuff going on today? And for those who think it's really bad now, let's look back through history a little bit every now and then. Okay? Really? Every now and then? Don't let the hyperbole of those people who make money by getting you upset convince you that we're in the worst time ever. Joseph Stalin, I don't care how much you hate Biden, I don't care how much you hate Trump. Biden and Trump are not Joseph Stalin. Anywhere near it, okay? So stop being stupid. And stop being led around by those people. They are not that bad. They're not as bad as Hitler. They're not as bad as Idi Amin. Yeah, they're really bad. There's a lot of bad stuff going on. We've had much worse. Because the world's always been in chaos. We have always been walking in chaos. Here's the point of the story. Where are you looking? And we love to look at the storm. We're a church, right? We believe in healing, right? We have a public healing ministry. And yet the typical response in any discussion in this church about illness is to spend 20 minutes talking about how horrible it is. All right, I'm going to pull a name up, please. I'm not referring to anyone in this room. Matilda. And if your mom's name is Matilda, I'm not talking about your mom, okay, or your sister. Matilda goes to the doctor and gets a diagnosis. And we bring it to church. Someone said, did you hear about Matilda? Here's the Christian response. Let's pray for Matilda. Let's pray for the doctors. Let's pray for families. Here's the St. Andrew's response. Oh, God, it's bad. Oh, my God, it's bad. You know, she has all those kids. What's going to happen to those kids? And we continue to talk about the storm because we love the storm. We love talking about how bad it is. We're not satisfied with things aren't going well. We have to say it's the worst it's ever been, ever. Live in an air-conditioned house. It has never been worse than it is today. Driving cars. Hundreds of miles every week. It's people have never had it harder than we've had it today. Standing in line at Kroger doing your own checkout. My God, what is the world coming to? I'm having to check out my own milk. Brought to me, homogenized, brought to my grocery store where I can purchase it for a few dollars. How can we go on in a world like this? Because we love it. We love to talk about the storm. So here's today's message. I don't care if you had a video about Jesus and Peter. I really don't. What I believe about that, yeah, I believe it happened. It doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter to you. And I know it doesn't matter because you look at the storm every day. And when you stop looking at the storm and look at Jesus, then we can talk about that question. But until you and I live our lives out of that faith, where we walk without fear, with trust, and stop focusing on the waves, until that day, the historicity of it doesn't matter. Did Peter walk on the waves? You betcha. And we're walking on the waves every day, every one of us. And the question is, are we so modern that we want to stop looking at Jesus and look at the waves and as we sink say, see, I proved it. I proved it. God can't do anything. Is that our goal? I think not. Amen.